to the book of Jeremiah, the 12th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, verse number 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dwelt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the Bible, God's wonderful word. Once again tonight, Lord, this preacher sure needs your help, needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to help me as I preach tonight to do what I should do and be what I should be and say what I should say. And Father, I ask you and depend upon you, Lord, for your strength and your help. And I ask you to take the word of God tonight, use it as you see fit, and we will remember always to praise you and thank you for all that you do, thanking you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this evening, which I've entitled, What If the Little Things Weary You? What if the little things get you down? What's going to happen when the big things come? That's basically what God was talking to Jeremiah about. Jeremiah was doing, if we want to call it complaining or whatever, he was looking at the fact that the wicked seemed to prosper. They just seemed to get by with things, and good things happen to them even though they're wicked, and they was prospering. And if you'll look in the Bible, you'll find that more than once where people have wondered about that. Over in Psalms 37 is a psalm that certainly addresses that problem. Psalm 73 is also another psalm that addresses that problem and talks about how the people look at how the wicked are prospering, and it was bothering them terrifically. And I'm sure you've done that too. I think we've discussed this before. We've talked about this before. But I'm sure you've done that too. You looked at the wicked, you wonder how in the world they get by with all they get by with and seem like they prosper. Well, Jeremiah was doing a little bit of that. I'm not going to take time to go back and read chapter 11, but if you'll read chapter 11, especially from verse 19 on, you'll find him once again talking about the things and the way the wicked was getting by with things, and God even telling him that he was going to deal with them. He was going to take care of it. But then you get into chapter 12 in verse number 1, and he begins to ask something and talk about this very same thing. He said, Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? And again, after I say, if you read the last part of chapter 11, you'll find that he comes to this question again. God, why do you deal with them like this? Why do they prosper? Why do they get by with these things, even though they're dealing treacherously? Why do you let that go on? And so we find that in place after place in the Word of God. I imagine there's been times you felt that way. I imagine you've probably questioned that somewhere, maybe not out loud, but in your heart, or in your mind, in your thoughts, you've kind of questioned that very same thing. Well, many of the men of God did the very same thing. So he was told basically this, if these little things weary you, and first of all, he said, if the footmen weary you, what are you going to do when those footmen get on horses and come at you? If the footmen weary you, they come at you, they're after you, they're trying to destroy you. Okay, but what are you going to do, God says to him, when the horses come after you? And what are you going to do, he says, if you're in the land of peace now, and you trusted in the land of peace, and what are you going to do when Jordan swells? What are you going to do in the middle of old Jordan when it's all swollen with waters? In other words, what he's simply saying is, if the little things get you down, what are you going to do when the big things come? You know, we talk about the coming days and talk about the new year and all those things, and we certainly do not know what's going to happen at the end of this year, and we don't know what's going to happen all next year, but I think by the principles that's used in the Bible and the Word of God, we can see that there's judgment coming upon America, and it's already begun, and we're seeing things happen, and that's not going to just cease. I believe it's going to continue and continue. And so God is saying, if we're all worried now, we're fretting now, we're having trouble getting along now, what are we going to do when it really gets rough? What are we going to do when the horses come and the swelling of Jordan, we're in the midst of it? What are we going to do? So God is asking Jeremiah that. And so and the way God deals with things, it's a marvelous thing. But I'll go on with verse number 6 there. He even told him, he said, you know, even your brother and your own household is going to give you trouble. He says there in verse 6, well, even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dwelt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. In other words, there's going to be some tough times. Even your family may give you some troubles and give you problems and give you heartaches and may stand against you and all these kind of things. That may happen, he was saying to Jeremiah. It's going to happen to you, Jeremiah. So what are you going to do when things really get rough? How are you going to handle it? And I think God is asking us the very same question tonight. How are we going to handle it when things really get tough? Basically, listen to me, basically, we pretty well got it made. Now, I know we've got troubles. I know we've got heartaches. I know we've got things. Brother David and Sister Jessica just lost his business. I mean, you think about that. You wake up on Monday morning. Where do you go to work at? Where do you bring carpet in? You know, that's tough. But there's some answers for him. God's going to help him. He's going to give him some answers of what he wants him to do. It wasn't done for naught. We don't understand all of it. No way we can understand all of it. But, you know, God's going to help him. And he still got food out there. He was telling me, it was wonderful. He told me this morning, he said, you know, all of my coats was down there at the store. He said, I didn't realize it, but there was a coat under the Christmas tree from his mother and father-in-law. Brand new coat. The only way he noticed this morning, leather coat. And he said, I didn't know it, but there was a new one under the Christmas tree for me, and the rest of them was all destroyed. See, God takes care. We know that. I mean, to some people that may be a minor thing, but that's a good thing. That's a right thing. That's looking and saying, God, thank you for what you've done for us. But I'm simply saying, what is it going to be when things really get rough, when we don't have a coat, maybe? What's going to happen when it really gets tough and you're in the swelling of the Jordan and the horses are after you? What are you going to do? That's basically is the principle that God was trying to get over to Jeremiah. Let me say to you this. God always puts on us first that which is less, then that which is greater. You take a little child. We see little children scattered throughout the congregation tonight, and they don't have very much physical powers. They're not real strong, although maybe some of them think they are, and all of that. But they don't have a lot of strength. If I would ask them to come up here, two year olds, and come up here and pick this pulpit up, they couldn't do it. You understand that, because God doesn't give them the strength that He gives them later on. Amen. If I ask a couple of teenagers to come up here, they'd take it and throw it in the baptistry. I mean, they did. You know, it's tough. And but you get a little older, you begin to get some more physical powers about you. God gives very least of powers when you're very, very little. A little baby doesn't have much strength. That's the way God does it. But they grow in strength. Same way with mental abilities. They learn the easy things first. I mean, you know, they don't even know how to talk. They don't know how to walk. They don't even know how to crawl when they're first born. They have to learn all these things, and then we begin to teach them their, you know, the very simple basic math things in school and all those things, just the very simplest things, because you have to start teaching them as a young child. That's just the way it is, because their mental abilities start with very little, and God then begins to build them. So I'm saying again to you, it's the same way in our moral problems. You know, as a little child don't go through too many moral problems, doesn't have to face too many, but as he gets older and older, he begins to face temptations of life. And as you get older, temptations come your way, and God has promised that we would not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. And I think that all of us ought to remember that. That's a promise of God. And so he don't put a whole lot of terrible temptations on a young child, because they have to grow. They have to mature. That's the way God does it. It's the same thing in business life. If you go back to your life and remember when you first got started, whether you're a business person or whether you're working out somewhere, usually God started you with the very least of things and the little knowledge, and he began to build your knowledge into greater things. And today you know a lot more than you did when you first started. Whatever your business, whether it's being a mother or a father, or, and let me guarantee you, time to get a grandpa, you know a whole lot, boy. You, amen. You kind of wish you could go back and kind of do it over again. You know, yeah, I wish I had known back at when I was young. But you all begin to build in life. It's the same way in our spiritual life. God does not expect that from a younger Christian, one just born again, as he does that from a mature Christian. God expects maturity, because God builds that individual. And when they're first saved, they don't have a whole lot of spiritual strength. There's just a lot of things that would throw them. If the really hardships come upon them, they might be thrown by some of those things, but God protects them and takes care of them and builds them in their strength. But let me say to you, there comes a day when God expects us to be mature in our spiritual lives. He expects us no longer to be acting like little babies. He expects us to grow up and act like a mature Christian that we ought to be. And God expects that of us, because he's taken time to build that in us, you see. Man's troubles are greater than a child's troubles, but so is his strength. Amen. A newly born again Christian is not as strong, but a mature Christian, his strength ought to be greater. Because he's a mature Christian doesn't mean he won't have some problems and troubles, but he ought to be able to face those things because he's mature in the Lord. He's not only a little baby Christian anymore. He's a growing up Christian, and he's been strengthened by the Lord, and his faith has matured. Don't listen to me. Just don't be a baby Christian. Not when you ought to be mature. Now, you may be a baby Christian to start with, because that's life. That's the way it all begins. But don't stay there. Grow up and mature as a Christian. Many people today have all kinds of problems in their Christian life, and all kinds of things throw them because they've never grown. They've refused to grow. And God expects you and me to grow in the Lord and be more mature than we was years ago. Let me say something about failure. I understand and I know that failure sometimes is good for us. I understand that. But continual failure in small things will sure ensure to you and me that we're going to fail in big things. You and I has got to learn to take the small things of life, and we're going to go to some scriptures. I'm going to take you through them, and I want you to listen very carefully, because God takes the small things of life and begins to test us and see how we handle the least things of life. And if you can't handle the least things of life, you're headed for failure that's unnecessary. Let's go to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. In verse number 10 of chapter 16, listen to your preacher here for a few moments, and I think it'll help you. He says in verse number 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, folks, God is saying something to us. God is saying He takes the least things, the little things of life, to build our faithfulness. He didn't say you had to be successful. He said you had to be faithful. You had to be faithful in the very, very least things of life, the little things of life. Whether you understand it or not, but you can tell a lot about an individual, and also you can tell a lot about the areas that you need to help them to grow in by their inability to take the little things of life and accomplish them. And there's many people who will not take the little things of life and accomplish them. And if you're not faithful in the least things of life, you're not going to be faithful in the big things of life. You've got to learn how to do the little things. Folks, many of the people that I'm going to talk about myself for just a few moments, but many of the people here in this church has done the very same thing. I remember how God took this preacher when he first saved him back in 1966 and began to train him. I was asked to do all kinds of things in the church over there, but Brother Evans, there was hardly anybody else to do them. I was asked to do a lot of things. My wife and I was asked to do a lot of things, and some of our children probably are old enough to remember some of those things, but we just did whatever needed to be done. We never asked a question. If the church it needed to be cleaned, we did it. If somebody needed to take the youth to some place, which many times we did, we just volunteered. 17 young people one day, an old Buick station wagon I had, 17 was in there, legs hanging everywhere. God's truth. I'm just simply saying, I want you to understand something. This preacher's not bragging. I have nothing to brag about. I just know that God taught me, He taught my wife, that when you're asked to do something, when you see even something that needs done, you just do it. Even if it's the little minute things. All of my life, I've cleaned bathrooms in churches. All of my life, I've swept floors when they needed swept. I'm just saying to you, you do the little things of life. You don't have to tell everybody about it. I'm not telling you about it for this reason. I'm just simply saying to you, you do the little things of life, and God will give to you then more bigger things to do. But He checks to see if you're faithful about the least things in life. Are you faithful to them? Not did you have great ability to do them, but are you faithful? Are you willing to just do the very smallest thing? Let me say something to you. God is checking out His people, doing it today, checks them out, checks them on the least things of life. So don't be surprised if you won't do those, if God won't give you greater things. Amen. How do you handle that least things that God gives you to do? How do you handle them? Do you faithfully do them no matter what? You see, that is one of the threefold tests of a faithful man. There's still two more. You see, what God does, the very less of things prepares us for the greater. He uses the least things to prepare us to do the greater things. Childhood prepares us, little children's youth, prepares us for teenagers, for youth. Youth prepares us for adulthood. And all of those prepare us for eternity. So I'm saying God checks us out. Amen. I use the word, and I'll go ahead and tell it. I know I've told it before. If you've heard it before, say, "Oh, Brother Ross, that's the most interesting story I ever heard." Amen. If you haven't heard it before, you'll enjoy it. But anyway, Brother Lester Roloff, years ago, a fellow told a story that Lester Roloff and him went fishing one day. And he said they was out fishing. They got ready to quit fishing. And he said that they got ready to put all their things back in their tackle boxes. And he said that Lester came to him and he had a cork. It's kind of a painted cork. He said, "You know, this don't look like mine. Is this yours?" That guy said, no, I've never seen that before in my life. I don't know anything about it. He said, that ain't mine. Now, he said, you sure that ain't yours? He said, you can have it. He said, are you sure that's not yours? He said, no, sir. That's not mine. He said, oh, go ahead and take it. He said, Brother Roloff, it's not mine. I don't want it. And he said, come to find out later, what Lester Roloff was doing was what he called corking me. To see what I would do with a little cork. And he said, me and him has had great relationships since then, and I've served with him for years and years and years. I've never forgot that story. You see, whether you know it or not, God's corking us. What are you going to do with that little job? How are you going to handle that little job? What are you going to do with it? You going to be faithful to it? God says, we'll check you out and see if you're a faithful man. Also, there's another area that God checks us out on. It's found in verse number 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? God says that he checks us out by how we handle unrighteous mammon. And for anybody who don't understand what mammon is, we would call it money. And God checks us out and sees how faithful we are in handling money. It's a test of a faithful man. I remember very carefully back when God dealt with my heart after I'd gotten saved and come near to the time when I was getting ready to be called to preach. He so put upon my heart, and I'm not going to get into all the stories. I've told you some of them stories before, but God so put upon my heart concerning the fact that I owed some people some money. And I want to tell you something. He would not let me forget it. And he dealt with me and dealt with me till I went and paid that money. And I don't believe to this day he would have used me as he has used me if I hadn't got that straight. For he checks us out with unrighteous mammon. He expects us to be faithful to the paying of our bills. And it's the way he checks us out. It's one of the tests of a faithful person that God checks out. Now I'm saying to you, you hear a preacher talk a lot about money and paying and paying debts, and if you owe somebody, pay them. You've heard the preacher talk a lot. There's a reason for that. I'm trying to get you to be a faithful person. Because that's one of the tests that God uses is money. How do you handle it? Do you pay your bills? Then I hear this, Brother Ross, I just don't have money. I just don't have the money to pay my bills. Then why have you got the bills? You've got to decide one or two things. Pastor Jerry and I was talking about this a while back. You've either got to increase your income or decrease your outgo. One or the other. But you must pay your bills. If you're going to be a faithful person, you must pay your bills. Now this is good preaching for you. For you young people out there. It's good preaching for us old folk. But it's good for us young people that's growing up. Boy, you don't get in debt. You pay your bill. God uses that as a test of a faithful man. What do you do with the least little things of life? And what do you do with about unrighteous mammon? Amen. You say, well, Brother Ross, I've had a hard time. I got in some troubles, and my health went bad, and I couldn't do this. And okay, all right. So you're in trouble. So you're having a hard time. You work it out some way with God to get that paid off as quick as you can. That's a test of a faithful man. Amen. You work it out. You go back to 2 Kings. I think it's the 4th chapter of 2 Kings, and he talks about the widow lady that her sons was going to be. The creditors was going to come get her sons, And he, remember, he came and done a miracle there about that oil, you know, and poured the oil, and she just kept pouring and kept filling the vessels and all that. And he said a very wonderful statement. He said, "Now, you go pay your debt and you live off the rest." Debt came first. When we go out and buy luxuries, when we owe somebody, we're not doing it the way God says. You say, "Oh, luxuries. Oh, I don't have any luxuries." Yes, you do. If you got something, you bought something you ought to pay your debt with instead of buying that, you've got a luxury. Well, you hear this preacher. That's a test of a faithful person. And God is corking us, checking us out, seeing how we deal with unrighteous mammon. Amen. I went through it. I know what I'm talking about. I was this far in debt. And God said, "You're not going to stay there and preach the word of God. You're not going to do that." Had a man tell me the other day, he stood right in my office and cried. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "my daddy never went to church, would not enter a church." That's what he said. He was crying, an old man, older man. He wasn't an old man. He's 5 years older than I am. He wasn't an old man, folks. But anyway, he was crying. He said, "My daddy never went to church." He said, "You know why?" He was a businessman, he said. He said he had stacks of papers like that. And he had on top all the preachers that didn't pay him. And he said underneath he had the Christians, the so-called Christians that didn't pay him. And he laughed at Christianity. You pay your bills. Amen. You pay your bills. It's right. It's proper. It's what God would want you to do. You pay them, then live off the rest. You say, "Well, I don't have enough." Yes, you do. You know what I'd do? I'd pay my bill today if I had to go hungry. You know what I believe God would do? I believe He'd send me in some food. But I'd pay my bill. That's scriptural. It's right. Yeah, you go ahead. You pay your debt, and then you live off of the rest. Amen. And remember something. Who's the first one we owe a debt to? 10%, folks. We owe him first. Debt owable unto the Lord. Amen. Then the last thing you notice in verse number 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And I'm going to go back to that other verse in a minute, because he says, "Who will commit to your trust the true riches?" You see, if you can't handle the mammoth riches, who's going to give you true riches? And that's not money. You're not talking about money there. No. He's talking about the true riches of God. Who's going to give that to you if you can't handle the unrighteous mammon? Then he says in verse number 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" This would be good for us to remember as we go out to work in the community around us, whatever job we have, how we handle our job. How do we work? How we handle that which is another man's. You see, that's not our business. That's not our company. How do we handle working for that man who is the owner of that company or of that business? How do we handle it? Do we work? Do we only work when they're watching? Or do we work when they're not watching? Man, I want to tell you something. That would gall me faster than anything. Somebody who sat around and wait till the boss turns his back and then quits working. What's the matter with people? Shame on them. You work, folks. You just work because it's right to work. You just do what's right to do. Amen. That's the way God would have you to do it. And He's watching anyway.
That's right. That's good.
Amen. So what do you do with that which is another man's? Amen. What do you do? What do you do with the ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, which is the ministry God has given me? What do you do with it? How do you serve under it? What do you do? How do you handle it? It's another man's. What are you going to do? You going to be faithful? You going to try to cause him trouble? You going to try to hurt it? You going to try to take over? It's another man's. So what do you do with it? That's a test that God tests us with. He watches. Amen. Those are tests. The least, unrighteous mammon, and that which is another man's. We could go into a lot of areas in that. You can do it in your own mind, but there's all kinds of things. What if you went and borrowed something from somebody that's another man's? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to treat it as well as you would your own?
That's good. That's right.
Would you get it back to him in proper condition?
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's another man's. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
Amen. So in other words, what God is doing, he's preparing us. He's testing us. He's corking us. He tests us all the time, trying to build us into something that he wants us to be. Yesterday is designed to prepare you for today. Last week is designed to prepare you for this coming week. Last month was designed to prepare you for this coming month. What we need to do is understand that those weaknesses need to drive us to God Almighty for help. When you have weaknesses and I have weaknesses, that ought to drive us to God for help. You see, he says that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we find weaknesses in our life, it ought to drive us to our knees unto God to seek his help. You see, it's all right to be weak in areas. Get God's strength. Trust in God. Let it drive you to your knees and beg of the Lord to help you. That's what he wants to do. If you can't trust God in the little things of life, how are you going to trust him in the big things? If he can't trust you and I with the little things of life, how is he going to trust us with the big things? Amen. What are you and I going to do when the horses come? What are you and I going to do in the midst of the swelling of Jordan? What are you and I going to do when the real tough times come? Everybody has tough times, but folks, most of us don't have had that tough time yet. The horses hadn't come at us yet. I don't mean we haven't had some difficult times. Sure we have. But the horses hadn't arrived. What are we going to do when the real tough times happen? Let me say to you, folks, there's things that need to be done, and we need to be busy about doing. Homes, families need to be built. We need to be busy about building good families for God. This church is made up of families, and folks, the stronger our families will be, the stronger our church will be. And there's a lot of work that we all need to do in the building of our families and our homes. The Bible needs read and studied and obeyed. It's pretty simple for us now, but what if the hard times come? What if we read our Bible? Would we read our Bible the same under a communist regime as we do here in America? It seems so easy for us. We've just got it made. What are we going to do when the horses come? How about praying? Praying needs to be intensified. How much do we pray? Here we've got it so easy in America. We've got so much around us. We've got so much of our needs already provided for way ahead of time. What are we going to do? How about our prayer life? How do we pray today? What are we going to do when the horses come? How about witnessing for Christ? Witnessing needs to be increased, not decreased. We need to do more witnessing, not less witnessing. What are we going to do when somebody stands and says, you can't witness? What are you going to do when the horses come? You see, churches need some things. Churches need some dedicated members that'll just sell out for God. Just dedicate themselves to the work of God. No matter what happens, they're just going to serve God. They're going to dedicate themselves to the Lord no matter what happens. Churches need some humbleness before God Almighty. Humbling ourselves before God. We need to see that in our churches today. Humbling ourselves and crying out to God and admitting that God is the one that deserves all the praise and all the honor for everything. And we humble ourselves before Him. We need to see these elders old-fashioned repentance.
I mean old-fashioned repentance. We need to see some weeping and some crying, old-fashioned repentance. I call it old-fashioned because you don't see it like you used to. We need that in our churches. Instead of sitting back and hear the preacher. God's not talking to me. You need to repent. Need old-fashioned repentance. Cry out to God and say, God, I've sinned. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm just going to get before you. And I'm going to repent of my sin. That's what we need. We need a renewed vision of what God's going to do at Blessed Soul Baptist Church. Getting some classrooms ready. Amen. Fill them up with boys and girls. See what the Lord's going to do down the road. He's got some plans for us. We need a new vision of what He's going to do. Amen. And we need to get an excitement about us to say, I want to be a part of it. Amen. We need the presence and power of God Almighty upon our services. Oh, we need God's presence. We need His power. Folks, we need it in the preaching. Yes, we do, but we need it in the listening too. We need God's power and wisdom right here in the church and presence with us. We need to see old repentant sinners just coming to Christ. Just coming repentant and saying, oh, I need to be saved. Holy Spirit of God has dealt with me. And I need to be saved. I need to be born again. We need to see cleaning up of our homes. I won't go over there, but I have a message, the cleansing of our home over in Psalms 101. It's a wonderful psalm. Wonderful psalm. We need to see our homes cleaned up for the glory of God. Areas that's wrong in our home, we need to just determine to get them right. Correct them. Amen. We need to see old-fashioned holy living because it's right to be holy. It's because God has commanded us to be. Where there's unholiness in our lives and in our homes, we ought to do everything we can to correct that, get it right. We need to see, as we mentioned this morning, we need to see a love for the brethren. True love for the brethren, a care for the brethren, a concern for the brethren. Love them because they are the brethren. You know what, folks? We oughtn't have any trouble loving the brethren. Loving them because they are brethren. If you're a child of God, I can guarantee you right today, I love you. Yes, I do. If you're a child of God, I love you. You know why? Because you're a child of God. Amen. I may not like what you do, but I love you because you're a child of God. It ought to be love for the brethren. Amen. We ought to see less bystanders and more servants. We need to see less people sitting in the pews and more people getting up out of the pews and doing and serving God. We need to see more people sold out to soul winning. Winning people to Christ. Amen. We need to see servants of the Lord just serving God but giving the gospel out. See? That's what our churches need. You see, them are some of the landmarks that will build a church. And that's what we need at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, what are you going to do? The little things weary you now. What are you going to do when the big things come? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you lose your business? What are you going to do when your life is threatened? If you can't handle the little things, how are you going to be faithful in the big things? Amen. That's what God is asking us. That's what He was asking Jeremiah. So what do? Well, we serve willingly. We just serve God because it's right to serve God. You just go on serving God no matter what. You always have those around you that are not going to do that. That's all right. You just serve God because it's right to serve God. You're going to have people all around you that don't like old-fashioned preaching. That's all right. That's the way of their life. That's who they are. That's what they've become. That's what they're going to end up as. But you keep serving God. You just do it willingly. You just go on for God no matter what anybody else says or does. You just go on for God. You be faithful. You continue to be faithful no matter what happens. You just be faithful. Be faithful in those least things. You just be faithful in them. Don't worry about what anybody else does. Young people, you just be faithful. Older folk, you just be faithful. Just be faithful. Do right, you see, no matter what anybody else does. And always keep the real goal in sight. The goal that God has given us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is to win souls to Christ and to get them ready to go out and win souls to Christ, to live for God. That's what it's all about. That's the whole goal of this church. That's what we're supposed to do. God has given us that responsibility. Win this community to Christ. Do everything we can to get people saved and then teach them how to live for God and so how to they can go out and get people saved. That's the way it is. That's the goal. And you keep that goal in mind. Amen. Just always keep in mind, what are we here for? What are we doing? Well, we're serving God. Amen. We're serving God Almighty. We're just going to keep on serving God. No matter what anybody else does, no matter if there's going to be some that fall by the wayside, yes, they will. But we're going to just keep on serving God. Amen. Just keep on serving Him no matter what happens. And then, of course, the real goal is what I said it was. But what's it for? To bring glory to God Almighty. The whole purpose of all of it is to bring glory to God. You see, folks, that's what we want to do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We want to honor Him. We want to uplift Him and His wonderful name. We want to bring glory to Him and all that we do. And when we fail, we've got to get that right. We've got to repent and go on and give glory to God. Because that's the whole purpose here, is to bring glory and honor to God. That's the whole purpose for your life. And my life is to bring honor and glory to God Almighty. Amen? I trust You'll do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again today for Your wonderful love. Thank You again for the Bible. Thank You, Lord, for the principles that is pointed out in the Word of God that will help us to live for You. God, help us to be what we should be. And Lord, those areas where we're not everything we should be, oh God, let us cry out to You for help. And Lord, that we need Your strength and help. And Father, then we'll give You the glory and the honor for it all, for all that You do. And we'll thank and praise You for it. Now You help us tonight to mind You in whatever You want during this invitation, that Your will would be done. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.